Well, it is good to be here with you again, and we're going to look at this passage from Acts chapter 20, Paul's last words to the Ephesian elders. I preached on this morning, and that's why it's coming your way this evening as well. That's been part of a series in the book of Acts, looking at the preaching of the early church, and we have been over these recent weeks, at beginning in August and on into September, we've been considering the preaching of the church as it's recorded in Acts. And we want to align not only with that message, but also with the method of the church. They were devoted to proclamation, and they were devoted to prayer. And the book of Acts, the key in understanding the book of Acts is it's a wonderfully encouraging book because it begins with the ascension of Christ. It's the second volume of Luke. And Luke's gospel ends with the Lord's ascension, and Acts begins with the Lord's ascension. And Luke's gospel is what the Lord Jesus began to do, and the book of Acts is what he continues to do. So the story of the book of Acts is the story of the Lord Jesus at work, and the gospel spreading in the pattern that he said that it would, that you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And it's that pattern then that the book works its way out upon. And the book ends, you'll remember, with the Apostle Paul, not in Jerusalem, but in Rome. And the gospel goes from city to city. And the promise is narrowed that the gospel will reach Rome. I think it's in chapter 21, the Lord stands by Paul and says, take heart as you have witnessed about me and the truth of the gospel in Jerusalem, so also you will witness it in Rome. And so the book ends on that note of promises being fulfilled, Christ at work, keeping his promises, the gospel reaching Rome, and then out from there unto all nations of the world. It's a wonderfully encouraging book because it's not so much the apostles that are at work, although they are, but fundamentally it is the Lord Jesus who is at work, and he is still at work today, and he's still keeping his promises. So we've been looking at the preaching that is recorded. You've got Peter at Pentecost, you've got the defense of Stephen in Acts chapter 7, you have Peter to the household of Cornelius in Acts chapter 10, you get Paul in Antioch in Acts chapter 13, Paul in Athens, Acts chapter 17. And then this morning we were looking at this unique speech in that Paul is addressing the elders of the church in Ephesus. And Paul has said, as he says within the text, that he had spent 3 years with them, or the best part of 3 years with them, and he had invested in them. He had poured his life into them, and he had spent years shaping and forming a pattern of ministry among them. And so these final words to them, as he's called them from Ephesus to come to Miletus, these final words are an urgent plea that they would continue within Paul's pattern of ministry. Sometimes tempting to think if you had 3 years with Paul, if you had the Apostle Paul pastoring your church for 3 years, you would think you would be fairly well set. You would be on an even trajectory, that there would be plain sailing ahead. And the words of Paul here within this speech show that that's far from the case, that faithful gospel ministry will involve difficulty and it will involve danger externally and internally as well. And so these final words to the Ephesian elders are a plea for them, a plea to them, that they would stick with and persevere in Paul's pattern of ministry. I'm going to speak particularly this evening about the role of elders within the church. And I don't know the context fully here. I was speaking this morning about the situation in our own church and the need that there is to develop elders and to raise up men for that work, and what it involves, what it entails, what the priorities are, what the qualifications are, the characteristics and competency that is involved in doing the work of an elder within the church. But you might be thinking, that's all very well, but it doesn't seem of huge relevance to me. I'm not an elder. I don't aspire to be. I'm not in church leadership. What relevance does talking about elders have to do with me? Well, three reasons quickly why elders are of great importance. I think the first one is to say that surprisingly, it's not something that we teach about, talk about, think about corporately together all that frequently. I might be wrong, but I think generally that's probably true. How many sermons have you heard on the role and character and the work of an elder? I hazard to say, maybe not that much. How much preparation, visibly, and prayer is there within the church to prepare men, to raise up men, to develop and train men before they're appointed to that task prior to it? Again, I'm speaking very generally, but I think it's fair to say, in my experience, generally, not that much. And I think that's quite surprising. It's quite surprising given the emphasis and the importance that there is on elders to the health and to the future of the church. The second reason is that elders really are a gospel issue. I think we all want to belong to a church that is faithful to the gospel. We want to belong to a church that is healthy and growing and showing signs of life. And if that is the case, and if that's to be the case in the future, it greatly depends upon the elders of the church. And if the elders turn from the gospel or do not fully proclaim the truth of the gospel and defend the truth of God, and that that is not what really leads and drives the church, then there is a danger that the church itself will turn from the gospel. And I don't think that's an exaggeration. You can look around at numerous churches across Glasgow and in our city, and indeed our national church, that is really has turned from the gospel and the truth that it once stood for. So leadership in the church is a gospel issue. Elders have a pivotal role to play in the faithfulness, the future, and the health of the church. But also, we have to say that the New Testament holds the members of the church responsible for the kind of leadership that it follows. So this is a member responsibility. Who it is that does the work of elders and what it is that they are expected to do. So we will not all be elders, we'll not take on that role, and that's okay. You know, not all of us are called to that work by any means. But we do have a responsibility to know what an elder is, and to know what an elder does, and to be able to recognise and to affirm the suitability of an individual for the role of an elder. So there is a corporate responsibility that stretches beyond just the individuals who perform this task. So for these reasons, I would say that this is a very relevant issue for everyone within the church. And we all need to take heed of Paul's last words to the church in Ephesus, his last words to these elders that he has invested in. And Paul stresses three things to them. And we're going to think briefly three things this evening that Paul presses home from this speech. So it's a three-point sermon. And here's the first one. The first thing that Paul says to these elders is, follow my example. Follow my example. He begins his speech by drawing attention to his own example and how he had lived among them. You see that in verse 18, when they came to him, he said to them, right at the beginning, you yourselves know. You know. There was a simplicity. There was a transparency about the life of the Apostle Paul. People didn't need to play guessing games. His convictions, his life, the way that he behaved, his manner, it was transparent. You yourselves know how I lived among you. You get that phrase again in verse 34. You yourselves know that these hands, and so on. His life was transparent. Secondly, his life was consistent as well. From in verse 18 again, you yourselves know how I lived among you the whole time from the first day. From the first day. And then until now, until 3 years later, there was a consistency, a settled pattern about Paul's life, transparent and consistent. Look also, it was his life had a presence about it. He was physically present. You yourselves know how I lived among you. So important that the shepherds of the Lord's people are among God's people. That they are physically present, but that presence also has an authority with it. A gentle authority of presence among the Lord's people. If I were to ask you in your mind to picture a shepherd, we could probably have all sorts of different ideas, couldn't we? We could have quite a modern concept of a shepherd going around on a quad bike, or we could have a more dated concept. But whatever our idea of a shepherd is, if you have that in your mind, I think almost certainly what you're going to be picturing alongside it is sheep. You're going to see the shepherd, but you're also going to see sheep. And just like the Apostle Paul lived among the Lord's people, and his presence was felt among them, then so also a pastor, an elder, must be present. And their presence must be felt. Look also, he was available, wasn't he? In verse 20, he could say that I didn't shrink from teaching anything that was profitable, teaching you in public. So he was prominent. He was available publicly. People could hear him in the corporate gatherings. But also he was available privately as well. You could go on to say that, and teaching you in public, yes, but also from house to house as well. The importance of that. Availability for elders and for pastors. And we live in a world that is broken, don't we? And people have many burdens, many cares, many trials, much anxiety and difficulty in life. And by all means, elders, shepherds cannot fix these problems. But they can be available. And their presence can be there. And they can pray with people and show them care and compassion and counsel and ultimately point them towards the chief shepherd, the Lord Jesus. There was an availability about Paul in public and in private. What we also have to say, though, about his example, it is one of endurance. The theme of difficulty and hardship comes through with genuine lived experience all the way through Paul's last words here. Verse 19, he could say, you yourselves know. You know all about the tears and the trials and the opposition, the plots of the Jews. Look at verse 23. He could say that the Holy Spirit testifies to me that in every city, imprisonment and affliction await me. Sometimes very different, that, isn't it, to our current popular notions of what it is to be a pastor. You see lots of things online, and it seems to be nothing but people portraying themselves as just one long parade of triumph. nothing but success and popularity, nothing but a depiction of everything going as well as it possibly could be going, nothing but popularity. And that's very different from the Apostle Paul's ministry. Tears and trials and opposition and hardship, the reality of endurance. So Paul says and summarizes his life with him, you know how it was, transparency and consistency, presence. He summarizes that life, but then he's now preparing them for life without him. Verse 25, he'll say, I am now going to Jerusalem, and you're not going to see my face again. Therefore, in these final words, he wants to press home his consistent example to remind them of it, not only so that they acknowledge it mentally, but so that they too follow it, and they too follow and mimic his example. I think it's a fair few years ago now, even maybe decades, there was quite a popular wristband that did the rounds, and it had WWJD on it. What would Jesus do? A good question to ask. But if the Apostle Paul's going to be giving them, the Ephesian elders, a wristband, what it will have on it is WWPD. He wants their instincts in the life of the church to be governed by what would Paul do? And he wants that to be their guiding principle. I think it's worth noting also, just in passing, as we see the importance of a positive example, as Paul stresses to them the first thing, follow my example, it's worth also noting, and we have to say, the negative impact of a bad example as a pastor and as a leader, as an elder. And even just this year, even very recently, within national media, we see depictions and portrayals of people who held the office of minister or pastor, and they fall into disgrace and tragedy. And now that is a personal tragedy in an individual's case, a personal tragedy, but it's also a tragedy for the cause of the gospel and the cause of the church that they seek at one time to have represented. And rather than their life commending the gospel, and rather being an example to follow, it's an example that damages the church and damages the credibility of the gospel. So friends, when you see a faithful elder, when you see a faithful pastor following Paul's example, encourage him in that work. Support him in that work. Pray for him in that work. Value his ministry and support him and encourage him the best that you can. I struggle to overestimate the encouragement that knowledgeable prayer can bring to a pastor, the encouragement of just a few words to say, that was appreciated, that fed my soul, that strengthened my faith. I'll be praying for you this week. Be truly encouraged, the difference that can make to your elders and to the ministry, and therefore to the health and future of the church. Be a church that is encouraging and supportive of faithful gospel ministry. The first thing that Paul says to them, follow my example. Second thing, it's good to have points because it feels like you're making progress, you know? Feels like we're getting somewhere. So here's the second one. The second thing that Paul says to them is pastor the church. Pastor the church. The second task that elders must do is to care for the church. We see that in verse 28. Notice what Paul says, that the Holy Spirit, verse 28, has made you overseers. Now that word overseer is really the same word as elder. It's interchangeable, elder and overseer, pastor. There will be a plurality of elders, shepherds of God's people within the church. The overseers, the elders are plural, the church is singular. But what is it that they are called to do? The Holy Spirit has made them overseers. Why? Verse 28. Made you overseers to care. To care for the church of God. And look at the stakes that are in play here. The value that is placed upon the church. We were singing, Church of God, elect and glorious, holy people, chosen race. Why is that the case? Because the church of God was obtained, verse 28, with the blood of Christ. That is why we are so precious. That is why each blood-bought believer belongs to the Lord Jesus, is part of his flock, and therefore is to be cared for. I think within that word care, that word really is the word pastor. They are to pastor the church of God. And within that, there's probably three things that we can break down that they are to do. The first thing is that they are to lead. Shepherds lead a flock. And they have a biblical responsibility to do so. Elders, pastors, overseers operate and act with a biblical authority. They have that authority, and they should be recognized as such, and they should exercise that authority to the benefit of the church. Two reasons why you don't need to listen to that authority. Our ears pick up at that. There are two reasons why you shouldn't listen to elders. The first is, if they ever stray from what the scriptures say. See, the only authority that elders have within the church, the only authority that there is in the church, is when we follow what the scriptures say. So it is a delegated authority. It is a received authority. So when the elders then act and counsel and encourage and gently lead the church in keeping with biblical truth, then they're acting in the authority and with the leading of God's truth. So if they ever were to stray from that truth, if they ever were to turn from the scriptures, if they can't show you from the scriptures why it is that we should do something or why it is that we should not do something, then there are grounds to not listen, because it is the scriptures that ultimately are the authority within the church. The second reason that you have liberty not to listen to elders is that you couldn't submit to them, or that if you don't want to belong to the church. See, it is a voluntary thing. There's no conscription. People cannot be forced. So the authority that elders have is a gentle, persuasive authority. And men need to be people that men need to be individuals that people can learn from and be led by. And that's why there's such an importance on character and competence within the descriptions of characteristics for an elder in Titus 1 and 1 Timothy 3. So we need to want to belong. We need to want to be part of the church. And if we feel that we can't belong, then there's no authority that is utterly binding upon you. So elders are to lead, but they do so gently, and they do so only with the authority of the scriptures. The second thing that elders are to do is that they are to provide. And elders must have a soft and a pastoral heart for God's people. They need to care and to counsel, to be available publicly, yes, but also privately as well, to encourage and comfort. And as we've said already, we live in a world that is broken and dark and confused, and there's much that causes anxiety and difficult. And pastors cannot fix people's problems, but they can be present with them, and they can pray for them, and they should have a soft heart towards them and be able to point them towards the Lord Jesus. Elders lead, but elders also provide. I think there's another dominant theme, though, that comes out in Paul's final words to these elders at Ephesus, and that is that elders must protect. They must protect the church. We sometimes have a very soft notion of what pastoral care involves. Indeed, if you were to go online and you were to search for pastoral care and you click images, well, you see what comes up. It's a very therapeutic, comforting, affirming, soft, tender approach. And that's right. That's right. It should be that. But there's more than that as well. It's imbalanced if that's all that we think of when we think of the role of an elder, because elders must protect. Look at what Paul says in verse 29. He says, "I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in." So there's a threat externally. They will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And now that's alarming, but I guess at one level not that surprising. There will be difficulty and there will be opposition externally. What Paul says next is the real surprise in verse 30. Not only danger externally to protect from, but also internally. Look at verse 30. "And from among your own selves." Internally. These are the men that Paul has spent 3 years with, that he has invested in, that he has trained and developed and shaped. But he says, pay attention to yourselves, for among your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things to draw the disciples away after them. So the work of faithful elders involves leading and providing, but also protecting the flock from danger. So the individual who is an elder, a shepherd, a pastor, needs to have the theological discernment to be able to step in and protect and prevent the church from danger, not only externally, but internally as well. The work of an elder is to be in constant threat, constant danger on multiple sides, danger without and danger within. So Paul says, follow my example. Secondly, he says, pastor the church with all that that involves. And then finally, the final thing that he says to them is, he says, declare the word. Declare the word. That's the last aspect that we need to draw attention to from Paul's words here, and that is what lay at the very heart of Paul's ministry. Now, it wasn't separate from his example, it wasn't separate from his leadership, but it was the means by which he discharged his leadership. And he stresses that the elders must continue in this work of declaring the word. Notice how the danger that would come from within is to do with speech in verse 30. He says, from among your own selves, men will arise speaking twisted things to draw away the disciples after them. So if false leadership and wrong leadership involves corrupted speech, twisted speech, then true and faithful leadership must be built upon a consistent proclamation of the truth. And that's exactly the emphasis that we have in Paul. Notice again in verse 20, he could say that I did not shrink from declaring to you anything that was profitable and teaching you in public and from house to house. A consistent proclamation. Verse 27, again, same phrase. I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole counsel of God. Verse 31, he says to them, remember that for 3 years, night and day, I admonished you, I instructed you how to think correctly, and I did so with tears. You see how that runs all the way through this speech, and it runs all the way through Paul's ministry. His ministry was primarily about declaration. And a declaration not simply of his own ideas, but a declaration of the truth, the whole counsel of God. Notice also that it wasn't an easy thing. Look at the language that he uses. He says, I did not shrink from doing this. So Paul was tempted to shrink from doing it. It was difficult. It was hard. There was something within him that said, to be honest with you, I might rather do something else. It was difficult, but Paul persisted in this work. And look also, it caused him many tears. Verse 19, we have tears. Verse 31, we have tears. Hard, difficult, emotional work. And Paul wishes that pattern to be true of the Ephesian elders as he prepares to leave them. And so true then for us in our generation, although much changes within society, much changes within culture, these priorities that were at the heart of Paul's ministry need to endure, and they need to stay the same, and we must be diligent in maintaining that and following Paul's example. So Paul's speech to the Ephesian elders in Acts chapter 20. We spent a little bit of time at the beginning to see that this is maybe an area that isn't talked about all that frequently, the role of elders, pastors within the church, but it's not for a select few. And it's not the kind of thing that should be talked about behind closed doors somewhere. This is for all of the church, because there is a member responsibility that we have to affirm, to follow, to recognise, to support faithful elders, faithful pastors. Let me encourage you to do that. It's also a gospel issue, because it's so crucial that the church gets this right, because as the elders are, so the church will go. So pray for, support and encourage your elders as they seek to follow Paul's example, as they seek to pastor the church, and above all, as they declare the word, declaring the whole counsel of God.